Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to look at Mark's Gospel, the first chapter. The church gives us in the Gospel readings the call of the apostles. That was yesterday. Today we're going to see the unfolding of the kingdom of God in the ministry and the teaching of Jesus. Jesus said yesterday in that first reading, you know, the fullness of time had come. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. The rule of God, the reign of God, the authority of God had come in the person of Jesus. Jesus came landing in enemy-occupied territory. He's come to bring down the kingdom of darkness that's opposed to the kingdom of his Father, to declare, to plant his flag, and he's literally going to bring down all the forces in his life and in his ministry. He will bring down the forces of darkness that are set against the kingdom of the Father. And then he makes a way through his life, passion, death and resurrection and ascension into glory. He makes a way for human beings who are made in the image and likeness of God, made for God, to belong to God, to dwell with God, to be in a relationship with God forever. He makes a way, and the way is the cross and the resurrection. And he makes a new creation in his own being. He makes it possible for us to be lifted. We who were made for glory had fallen from glory, and he's going to give to us ultimately a share in his glory. But in order for us to get there, he has to deal with the sin problem and the death problem and the powers of the world, the flesh and the devil that are set against the human race. And today we hear a story of how Jesus confronted the kingdom of darkness. It's from Mark 1, 21 through 28. Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers. Now, those are the apostles that he had just called. Yesterday, we saw Jesus declaring the gospel of God, the good news of God. And the good news of God is that his king has come. And he calls everyone to follow him. And he calls us on his terms. And to follow him begins with repenting. That means changing the direction of our lives and coming under his authority and believing in him and believing in his description of reality, believing in his proclamation of the good news of God the Father, for God so loved the world. Jesus is going to reveal the Father, and he's going to reveal the authority and the reign of the Father. So Jesus proclaims that. The apostles heard it. Jesus looked at them and said, "Come follow me." And they drop their nets. So they're starting to follow him. Jesus is beginning his ministry, and here we are. Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers. And on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So we see the authority of Christ, the authority of God's Son, the authority of the King, and he's speaking with power. And it's capturing the hearts of some of those who are listening. It says, "In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, 'What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?'" Isn't it interesting? It's just Jesus' presence. As he steps in, he starts shaking the underworld, the world of darkness. Demonic spirits are fearful. They're shaken because they're being confronted by a power, a person who they have zero power over. He has total authority and power over them, and they're reacting, they're panicking. The whole kingdom of darkness is shaking. "Have you come to destroy us?" But hey, guess what? He has. He's come to destroy the principalities and powers that are set against his kingdom. He says, "I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." Isn't that interesting, friends? The first to publicly confess in the Gospel of Mark that we know of that Jesus is the Holy One of God is a demonized man, because they know. Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even unclean spirits and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. This is an amazing story, but it happened again and again in the life of Jesus, then it happened again and again in the life of the apostles and throughout the history of the church, because the church is the presence of the kingdom. And the church, when she's walking with Jesus, she has the authority of Jesus, those who are baptized into him are no longer under the dominion of darkness. Jesus exercises and makes visible the presence and the power of the kingdom. That's what's visible here. Now, as the drama unfolds in Jesus' life, we're going to see how Jesus explains and he makes clear to those, even among the religious leaders who would oppose him, the Pharisees and the rulers and the like, and they'll insist. You see this in John's Gospel, chapter 8, and all the way up to, I think, 14 in that whole section. They accuse Jesus of being a blasphemer. They accuse him of violating the law. And they say ultimately that he is a demon. Imagine that. Think about how bad their discernment of spirits really was. The Son of God is standing before them, and their assessment is, after having followed him and listened to him, challenged him, tested him, their answer is, you have a demon, right? And Jesus said, you're blind guides. Because I've been with you, and you followed me, you heard my preaching, and I preach with authority, just as Mark is saying here. You saw me heal the sick, you saw me raise the dead, and you saw me cast out demons. Yet you were blind to the reality of what this communicated. The casting out of demons is a revelation of the authority of Jesus, and it confirms who he says he is and his preaching and his authority. So, I mean, today, unfortunately, there's lots of poo-pooing in the church about, you know, whether the devil's even real, a real being and a real person, like the current head of the Jesuits, he's a symbol, this or that. Look, the church's teaching is really clear on this. It doesn't matter that the head of the Jesuits or a theologian or whoever wants to speculate that the devil may not even exist. You don't have to follow somebody like that. You don't have to listen to what he's saying, because the church's teaching is very clear. The scripture is very clear on this. You don't have to get caught up and confused. I thought I'd do the last few minutes we have of the program is to go back to a general audience of Pope Paul VI back in 1972. He talked about confronting the devil's power. And he gives us a picture of what the church teaches. And he's just simply echoing what the scripture teaches with Jesus, the apostles, the saints, the catechism, the teaching and understanding of the church. So I'm going to just take some excerpts from this morning to kind of fortify your own understanding, because it's important for us to remember that we're in a spiritual battle, spiritual combat every single day. We need to take up the armor of God that he's given to us. And as St. Peter said, you know, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He's like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And if you're not clear that you're in a spiritual battle, he's going to get the upper hand in your life. So here's Pope Paul VI. What are the church's greatest needs at the present time? Don't be surprised at our answer, and don't write it off as simplistic or even superstitious. One of the church's greatest needs is to be defended against the evil we call the devil. And so what he'll do then in the article is he'll lay out the Christian vision of the universe, our understanding of God, of creation, of the fall, of God's love and goodness coming to us in his Son Jesus, his passion, death, and resurrection, and the vision of the hopeful, joyful vision that Christianity brings to the human race. But he said, in the midst of that vision, we have to be honest about the mystery of evil. And he says, but is this vision complete and correct? Are the defects in the world of no account? What are the things that don't work properly in our lives? What of suffering and death and wickedness and cruelty and sin? In a word, what about evil? Don't we see how much evil there is in the world, especially moral evil, which goes against man and against God at one and the same time, although in different ways? Isn't this a sad spectacle, an unexplainable mystery? And aren't we, the lovers of the word, the people who sing of the good, we believers, aren't we the ones who are most sensitive and most upset by the observation and the experience of evil? He goes on to talk about the natural evils, like, you know, physical weakness, different forms of frailty and weakness in the human struggle. He said tensions between, the tension between two laws, one reaching for the good, another toward evil. The battle at St. Paul says, I want to do what's good, but I often do what's bad. That kind of struggle is what he's talking about. But then he goes on to say, we come face to face with sin, which is a perversion of human freedom and the profound cause of death, because it involves detachment from God, the source of life. And then sin in its turn becomes the occasion and the effect of interference in us and our work by a dark, hostile agent, the devil. Evil's not merely an absence of something, but an active force, a living spiritual being that is perverted and that perverts others. It's a terrible reality, mysterious and even frightening. He goes on. It is a departure from the picture provided by biblical church teaching to refuse to acknowledge the devil's existence, to regard him as a self-sustaining principle who, unlike other creatures, does not owe his origin to God, or to explain the devil as a pseudo-reality, a conceptual, fanciful personification of unknown causes of our misfortune. He continues, the lurking shadow of this wicked presence is pointed up in many, many passages in the New Testament. St. Paul calls him the God of this world and warns us of the struggle of Christians must carry on in this dark, not only against one devil, but against a frightening multiplicity of them. I put on the armor of God, the apostle tells us, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers and against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness on high. Many passages in the gospel, the Holy Father goes on, show us that we are dealing not just with one devil, but with many. But the principal one is Satan, which means the adversary, the enemy. And along with him are many others, all of them creatures of God, but fallen because they rebelled and were damned. A whole mysterious world convulsed by a most unfortunate drama about which we know very little. Now, he defines the devil even a little bit more here. There are many things we do not know, however, about this diabolical world, things that touch on our lives and on the whole history of mankind. The devil is at the origin of mankind's first misfortune. He was the wily, fatal tempter involved in the first sin, the original sin. That fall of Adam gave the devil a certain dominion over man, from which only Christ's redemption can free us. It is a history that is still going on. Let us recall the exorcisms at baptism and the frequent references in sacred scripture and in the liturgy to an aggressive and oppressive power of darkness. The devil is the number one enemy, the preeminent tempter. So we know that this dark, disturbing being exists, and that he's still at work with his treacherous cunning. He's the hidden enemy who sows errors and misfortunes in human history. It is worth recalling the revealing gospel parable of the good seed in the cockle, for it synthesizes and explains the lack of logic that seems to preside over our contradictory experience. An enemy has done this. He is a murderer from the beginning, the father of lies, Christ defines him. He undermines man's moral equilibrium with his sophistry. He's the malign, clever seducer who knows how to make his way into us through the senses, the imagination, and libido, through utopian logic, and through disordered and social contacts in the give and take of our activities, so that he can bring about in us deviations that are all the more harmful because they seem to conform to the physical and mental makeup. Friends, this is the church's teaching. Now, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We don't have to be afraid of the devil, but we've got to be true and clear about what the church teaches. God bless you. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789, that's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE, or subscribe to our podcast.